All right, we are officially live. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa
rahmatullah. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Alhamdulillah. You guys look good, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Mashallah. So it takes a moment or two for it to roll over onto our social media accounts, but I do ask that you guys can take this moment once you see it popping up on the Dope Muslim Woman podcast or even on my page. You can go ahead and share it on your pages. You can take that now if you have your phones. But assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Dope Muslim Woman podcast. Those that are entering into the podcast, please give your salams. You know how it goes. We like to always start off. Wa alaikum salam, Veronique. We like to start off with the greetings of peace to ensure that barakah remains into this discussion. Welcome everybody to the Dope Muslim Woman podcast. Welcome back to Love and Restoration. Again, please drop your salams and share. I'm asking that you drop your salams and that you share. That is the biggest way you can contribute back to the podcast and to the episode. Well, we are back, guys, with Love and Restoration. This is our special series of our season three. Wa alaikum salam, Sakina and Umariam. Welcome back. We are here with a very, very important, special podcast with this amazing, beautiful people in front of us right here. Assalamu alaikum, guys. And I couldn't be more happy and humbled to broach this topic. Today's topic, you guys, is longing for longevity. And we're going to really approach this topic and break it down. So I'm so thankful to have this amazing couple with us today. I'm going to introduce them. Assalamu alaikum. Hey, guys, make sure you share the podcast as you come in. Salam. Hey, Saudia. All right. So let me go ahead and introduce who I have here in front of me. We have an amazing and dynamic couple. And first, I'm going to go ahead and add on my co-host, first and foremost. So today we have an amazing co-host. This sister is a very close friend of mine, near dear. She's been married for quite some time, and she's, I think she's frozen. Jenna Hakeem will be joining us today. Hopefully, inshallah, if our Wi-Fi agrees. How are you today, Jenna? Assalamu alaikum. Uh-oh.
Yeah, she's frozen.
She's frozen. Okay. All right, mashallah. We're going to introduce our guest. Okay, so we're going to start with our brother. Our brother here was born into a family with a rich history. He has always been family oriented. He's been born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. This brother spent his formative years in Austell, Georgia, where he moved when his parents divorced. He's a loving son, a brother, a husband, and a father. He's an entrepreneur with a focus in accounting. Even in childhood, this brother had marriage on his mind and for his future. And then when he felt the time was right, he prayed about being blessed with a beautiful, believing woman who would be a great mother to his children. So he went after what he wanted, and alhamdulillah, it is working out. I didn't write that. They did. We want to welcome Brother Ayub of the Shakur to the show. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Can I just ask a quick, you know, did you write that or did your wife write it?
Nah, that's all me.
That's all you? Okay. Little kudos, little points. Okay. Thank you for being here, brother. All right. So this dynamic sister, who's a personal friend of mine, I've known her for many, many years. She is also from Atlanta, Georgia, but she's moved to Senegal, West Africa at the age of 10 years old. During her 2.5 years overseas, she visited 3 other African countries. And just before returning to America, she accepted Islam. Although her parents divorced before her time in Senegal, they remarried when she was 15, and they are still together to this day. She's an artist. She's an idealist. She's a romantic at heart. This sister married her teenage sweetheart at 22. They are coming into their 15th anniversary this year. They face the unimaginable trials and obstacles. She still believes in the resiliency of the human experience and that honesty, authenticity, and accountability are therapeutically healing. I would like to officially welcome Sister Indola Haga to the show. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me and us.
Thank you for being here. That was a beautiful, beautiful opening. Well, congratulations on reaching, inshallah, 15 years. When is that? When do we hit that mark?
December. So we're at the beginning of it, but
inshallah.
It feels real. I don't feel old enough for that.
Yeah, you guys really grew up together. Well, I can't wait to get into this topic with you guys, and I appreciate you guys for coming on. I think it was so important to talk about this idea of longing for longevity, and I really couldn't think of anyone else to speak to about this except for you guys, mashallah. I wanted to just start at the beginning. Hey guys, alaikum. I wanted to just start at the beginning. Like, you both were, like you said, really young. You were teenage sweethearts when you married. I wanted to just ask, what made you two fall in love and then decide to get married?
Well, I mean, we weren't teenagers when we got married. The idea of marriage came about when we were teenagers, but it wasn't until later that, you know, we actually got married. It was interesting because I was approached about marrying her, you know, by her mother. Her mother approached me about, you know, marrying her because of one of my village mothers. They were talking and they thought that we'd be a good, you know, a good match. And so the chemistry was there almost instantaneously, but it was like, I wasn't in a position to get married. I was in college at the time and I knew that I wasn't trying to just string somebody along. And so we stopped talking. And
for like what, 4 years?
Yeah, it's about four years. Yeah, we stopped talking, and then we got reacquainted, and so I reapproached the situation. And
how did we get reacquainted?
So you know, her father and I, we go to the same masjid, and so, you know, once I kind of got myself ready, you know what I'm saying, I approached her father again and asked about his daughter, you know. And he was like, all right, I'll go talk to her and see, you know, what did he tell you?
Brother, are you, you know, expressing interest, and I'm only okay with it if y'all get engaged. I was like, no, I ain't talked to that man in 4 years. No, absolutely not. And he was like, why not? You know, it's halal and it's the Islamic way. I was like, no, sir. I don't know him anymore. You know, we were 18 and 19 then. Now we're in our 20s. We both graduated from school. We haven't talked at all in literally almost five years. I don't know if he's the same guy, what he's been doing, do he got kids, like what's going on with the brother? Right. And if I decided to be engaged to him, that means that there can be no courtship elsewhere. But if I'm just like, oh, maybe we'll get to know each other again and somebody else was interested, it wouldn't have to be an automatic no. And so, and I was a little salty about the past, if I'm being totally honest. So I was like, you don't get back in that easy. So
hold on, if you don't mind me stopping you guys for just a quick second. So you're basically saying that when you guys got together, you stopped because Ayub said he wasn't ready. He pulled one.
It was a combination of things. Okay. We were both approached like, I know this great guy. I know this great girl. Y'all would be very compatible. I was 17. He was 18. For about a year, we were talking. And at the end of that year, my parents decided, they're not ready. And they actually went to him and told him, don't talk to her no more. Y'all not ready to get married. Y'all young. Y'all playing around. Whatever. I don't know. I wasn't there for the conversation. I just made that up. But they told him, you know, don't talk to me no more. And so he stopped talking to me just out of nowhere, just out the blue. Never heard from him again. So I'm like texting him, I'm calling him, and I mean, nothing.
Oh, he ghosted you.
He ghosted me.
Are y'all gonna let me talk?
Ghosted me.
I mean,
ghost, gone, so, disappear. So it turns out that he really just assumed that the message had come my way as well, but it didn't.
Let me just hear from Ayub. So Ayub, you just she was calling and texting you. You
emailed. I was like, yo, father.
So, you know, her father had approached me and was like, since y'all not ready to get married, I need you to cease and desist, basically, right? Okay. And I have a lot of respect for her father, right? A lot of respect for her father. And like she said, I'm thinking they had a conversation with her.
He thought I was just disobeying the rules.
You know what I mean? And so I stopped. You know what I mean? I stopped. I cold turkey. You know what I mean? And it was hard. It wasn't easy. You know what I mean? Because I cared about her. But
right. So, dag, brother, are you? Just left me out there. Yeah, in the wind.
And but again, because of the respect that I have for her father and for her family, yeah, I'm thinking this is a discussion, you know what I'm saying, that they've had. And, you know, I'm just respecting what this man said. That's what I would want somebody to do if I was in that position. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm glad that I did it, right?
Yeah, it was better that it happened the way it happened, because right, it definitely made me have more respect for him coming back into it. Just the way that he, and for me, he was a ghost, right? You disappeared. You could continue to be a ghost. But then when I find out what happened, I was like, dang, that's kind of serious right there. Like,
but you know what? I think this is a powerful point, if you don't mind me segueing in, because, you know, as I'm doing this love and restoration, I'm really finding a lot of people are sharing their stories, right? And so there seems to be a lot of sometimes us as women, and Ndola, tell me if this was your experience, but sometimes we misinterpret what we're receiving back from our men, and we come with all kinds of assumptions. He goes to me, probably with somebody else, all that, and there's something completely different that's going on.
I think
right?
that that's a fair assessment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It boils down to inefficient communication, I think, within my family side of things, because he got the message loud and clear. And like Majita said, he was being respectful. So he was gone. He went on and continued his education, did what he needed to do, came back to Atlanta, started working for the family business and so forth and so on. And the communication didn't happen on our side of things. And so so that was a big part of my initial no, when my dad asked me, like, why would I? No, I'm good. I've been hurt by that guy already. I'm not doing that again. And and when I found out what happened, it shifted me very quickly, because it was like we were pretty serious about each other for 18 and 19 years old. Like, we knew that we wanted to get married, but we also were very clear that we weren't ready in terms of, like, how are we going to support ourselves? And we were both still in college, and it was important to us to graduate. And I knew if I got married, might not finish, and I really wanted to finish. It was just a goal I'd set for myself. And so to learn that he did what he did just because my dad told him to, it was kind of a big deal to me.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to see if Sister Jenna is ready, because I need my co-host today, y'all. Sister Jenna, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
You all right over there, girlfriend?
I'm all right. I don't know what's going on. I had to get on my phone to be a part of it. So
okay, here I am. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Hi, everybody. This is Sister Jenna Hakeem. Again, she's my co-host. She herself has been married. Is it 16 years, Jen?
Going on 17 in March.
17 years. Yeah. So also on her journey, inshallah, to longevity. She's also a long-time educator. So I'm so happy to have her here to help me out. Thank you so much, Jan. All right, Jan, go ahead. You can kind of take it away. That's okay.
All right, sure. So what do you, and either one of you can answer first, it's up to you, what do you believe contributes to sustaining the longevity of a marriage?
I mean, for me, I think that it's important to hold true to who you are as an individual, right? During our premarital counseling, it was emphasized that we're not coming together to make a whole, like, right, you know what I mean? Like, we are each individual people. So, you know, really do some self-checking as you go along through the journey, because it depends on you if it's successful. It's not dependent on we. You know, and it's just that our goals kind of really aligned and our values really kind of aligned. And so it made that process a little easier, for where I can give her space to cultivate who Ndola is. She can give me space to cultivate who Ayub is. And I mean, it's been working for us, you know, to rock like that, because there's been things where she decided she wanted to do something. And I'm like, man, okay. You know what I mean? Okay. Okay. This, you sure? All right, let's get it. You know what I mean? And and for me, again, you got to check yourself. You know what I mean? What are you in it for? What's your intention? And your intention is to allow this person to grow and to blossom into who they're supposed to be.
Powerful. I appreciate that. I wanted to ask a quick question to Ndola. When we look at it through the lens of what we go through as women, and I love the fact that you guys kind of grew up together. And I'm thinking about, you know, I got married in 19, as well. And it was just so much, I evolved so much year after year that who I was at 19, by 25, I was a totally different person, right? Mm-hmm. So I know you guys were relatively young. What do you believe, just as a woman, what do you believe some ways that women contribute to a breakdown in the marriage and in longevity, especially as you're going through different phases of evolving as a woman?
I think that we, as much as we want to think we're good communicators, we're not. We don't communicate well. We've been taught not to communicate well. We've been taught to invalidate our feelings, to not go with our intuition, and to hide in these safe little spaces. And so, like, one of the things that he didn't used to like it until I really explained it well, but I say I didn't really become a better person until I stopped trying to be a good wife. And by be a good wife, I mean fit into this mold of what I thought a good wife was, instead of just being a doula as a wife. I'm trying to, a good wife does this. She makes her husband's plate. She does the laundry. She makes peace for him at home. If the family is taken care of, then I'm okay. It's all foolishness. It's foolishness is what it is. And it sets us up to be exhausted and overwhelmed and overworked and miserable and resentful of the people that we're supposed to be the closest to. And so some years ago, I wasn't all of those things, but I was some of those things. And it dawned on me that it didn't have anything to do with him as a person. Because it was one day, our family was sitting down for dinner and I didn't sit. And he was like, why aren't you sitting? And I said, you know, I'll eat after you guys. And he was like, why? And I said, oh, you haven't noticed? I don't, like, wait, what is happening here? And he was like, no, really, explain it to me, because I don't know why. So by the time everybody sits down, the kids get situated, somebody needs some water. So I'm the one that gets the water, right? So then something spills and then I clean it up, and then the baby wants to nurse, so then I nurse. And by the time everything gets done and everybody is attended to, my food is cold. So I stopped making my plate with theirs and I just left it in the kitchen. And I would just do all that tending to as dinner went on. And then I would go and eat by myself, watching something on Netflix or something like that, right? But I never communicated that to him, because I'm thinking, you see it, like, you're here. But he didn't. He had no idea that that was going on for me and why I wasn't. But I was being a good wife. I was making sure things were taken care of, right? Everybody's tended to. And we get fed this idea that if everybody else is okay, we'll be okay. And we connect ourselves to the duties of the house. It's all a trap. And so he would say, I'm coming home early. What do you need? And I would be like, oh, alhamdulillah, I need some help with this laundry. I need the kitchen. I need. None of those were my needs. Those were house needs, but I had made them my needs. And so as he does these things and I'm still unsatisfied, he's like, I don't understand how I'm doing everything you said do. And he was, and I thought I was communicating well, and he thought I was communicating well, but the underneath all of it was the miscommunication with myself about who I needed to be in my relationship, how I'm really communicating, being really honest about not having it all together. Just all of it went back to the communication. And the communication for me is linked back to being who you are. Like that show, Love is Blind. I really, really liked that show, not for the gimmicky things in it, but because the relationships that fell apart were the ones where they hid parts of themselves in the pod, right? They didn't show who they truly were. And that was the opportunity. So they have this person that's falling in love with them sight unseen, and then they come out and they're starting to reveal these more things. Now they're revealing more stuff, and that makes it harder. But if they had revealed everything in that little pod, it would have been better. If they had just been their true self, it would have, I think, would have made for some of those relationships to last a bit longer. So he never watched the show. He thought it was dumb. But I was trying to explain to him that it actually had some levels to it, like in terms of that authenticity and the communication and how it translates over. Like, that show is for entertainment, I know, but a lot of those things are real. It really happens in our real lives, and we aren't honest with ourselves about our needs. We're not honest with our spouse about our needs, and we don't prioritize ourselves, and we get depleted, and there's nothing.
And then we don't want to be married. Let's keep it a whole 100.
Then you don't want to be married.
You don't want to do it anymore. And I mean, and Dola, you said, and I know, Jen, you're here as well. You said some things I just really blew my mind away, because you really just verbalize so much of what we do, but it's like there's even a lack of awareness around it. Wouldn't you say, Jen?
Oh,
like,
when
she said the definitely part about the house needs versus my needs, like,
right. And she has points. She has points that I didn't even think about, you know, and realizing that absolutely true. That's definitely things that happen in the marriage. That
yeah, I feel like somebody taught us all this, because how are we all falling into these same pitfalls? Like somebody taught us this stuff, and they taught our men to observe us in a certain kind of way. Like, because I was like, he's not neglectful, he's not unattentive. How does he not know? Like, where are you? But he was listening to what I was telling him.
Right. So can I segue in, Ayub, if that's okay? I wanted to just get your perspective, not necessarily on what exactly your wife said, but I really wanted to know as a man, like, what do you think contributes to that breakdown as well? What are some of the things you guys do?
Like she said, you know, just wanting to be attentive, right? My intention is to be attentive and to be helpful, right? Because that's going to allow her the space to keep being herself, right? And like she said, just the miscommunication in that, right? When I ask specific questions, if she's not answering them thoroughly and properly, then I'm going to do what she says do, you know, because I'm trying to be helpful. And so when it came about that we had this miscommunication, right, it was like a reevaluation, okay? I got to step inside myself. What is your intention? Your intention is to help, okay? So instead of saying, you know, I helped you do the dishes, no, I helped the house do the dishes. So just those slight change of words, right? The action is the same.
Such a big deal, though.
Right? The action is the exact same. And we try to express that to our children that, you know, you're going to do what we tell you to do. You might as well do it in a positive light, you know, because you get barakah, you get blessings in doing these things. But if you do it with a heavy heart and negative, like, I don't want to do this and blah, 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 and it's just going to create disorder and disruption in your life that you really don't need. You know, only thing that can grow out of positivity is positive things, you know. And so it's like, okay, what is my intention? My intention is to create this environment that I can step into every day that's peaceful and it's loving and it helps everything grow, right? No matter what it is, you come into our environment, it's going to be peaceful, it's going to be loving, and we can grow from that. Whereas if it's just negative and I don't want to come home, and you know, then we're going to have some problems, right? Because we're going to have problems anyway. Problems. This was a problem, right? But if we have the right intention, and I felt like I had the right intention of trying to cultivate this environment to where she knows, right? Like she said, she knows that I want to do these things. It's not that I want to do it for her. I want to do it for me. You know, and so that's, you know, that's my perspective on it.
Beautiful, beautiful. You guys dropped so many bombs. I'm sorry. That's really, no, it's really, really powerful, because I think, and Saudia said, sometimes we think our husbands are mind readers. Yeah. And I mean, it's really a problem, because you're right. We always claim that we're the better communicators, but we don't, there's a lot that we really don't say.
I think we've been taught to hold the unpalatable things and make it work.
Yeah.
I remember one of we've done marriage counseling twice now. And one of the counselors was like, don't drop hints. Don't suggest. Tell the man what you need. Yeah. He's not going to figure it out. Let him know. Like, we're not that complicated for y'all. Like, y'all think about all this stuff and all these webs and connections. We don't do that. If you say it's A, it's A. It's that simple. And so, yeah, the mind reading thing, I didn't think I was doing that, but I was definitely doing that.
But do you think, I'm just asking a quick question, and then I know I'm going to segue Jan back in, but is there some levels of, you know, I appreciate what Indola's saying about just being really direct. Is it always easy to receive it, though? Because sometimes I do hear men speaking about just this aspect of a woman nagging or viewing her, you know, kind of being honest as complaining. Is there, how are you receiving sort of this openness and this honesty?
I think that over the course of our relationship, right, I've developed the understanding that she isn't trying to be nagging, right? She is trying to be loving just like me, right? But there's a certain way that you have to communicate with those that you're around, right, for them. Right. And so I have to understand that this isn't to hurt my feelings. This isn't to say that you're not this. This is to express what she wants. Right. And I had challenges with that at times, right? Where I would get in
Ndola, you know, like,
yeah.
He downplaying a little bit in Ndola. He downplaying.
But right, but the thing about it is, right, is that we were both committed to making it work, you know. So it would be times she would have the preference, right? I'm about to say something, but you know,
I need you to hold it together,
right? You know what I mean?
I need you to hold it together.
And alhamdulillah, my thing is very internal, right? It's not outwardly expressing frustration or anything like that. It's a lot of internal stuff. And so,
but in the internalness of it, the way that I perceived it was very passive aggressive, which of course is an anger issue, right? And so sometimes instead of having to navigate all that, I'll just do it. And I'll be a good wife and keep the peace here because I don't want to cause an issue. And I remember I was talking to his brother about some of these challenges and he was like, this sounds dumb. Be yourself. Like, what are you even doing here? This doesn't sound like a problem. Just be Ndola. And I was like, huh. Men really are sometimes easy. They could just cut through the fat. Like, just get straight to it. And it is challenging. I don't want to be naggy or whatever. But the fact is, I, through the course of our relationship, became the manager of our home. And so I was having to organize and plan and delegate and whatever. And so sometimes it would have to be like, look, I need you to get these things done. But I didn't want to say it like that because that feels directing or like I'm bossing. So I'm trying to find these other ways. And what I came to understand only like 2 years ago, it was too much ego at play. On really both sides, but if I'm being honest, it was a little bit more for him because he was doing between ego and shame, and mine was probably more just ego. I didn't have as much shame, and we had to go through a whole course with a guided course of getting underneath that and getting to the root of it and getting to a point where that's not the guiding thing. Like, that's not going to determine how we do things and how we talk to each other. And I could point out to him, me coming to you with this issue is not about me, it's about you. Like how he said, it was an internal thing. That wasn't something that we understood before it was pointed out to us. I definitely thought, because I did this, he's doing that. And so what's my responsibility? What have I done to contribute? And the fact is, it had nothing to do with me. It was totally about him and the way that he was moving and issues that he needed to work out for IU. And then I had my own issues that I needed to work out for me, but they were really unrelated. They just bumped into each other because of our proximity to each other. But they really didn't have anything to do with me or him together. It was very, very separate work that had to be done.
Powerful. I wanted to bring in a comment from Bilal. And he said, men compartmentalize things while women have everything in the same room. We see and think differently for good reasons, complementary to each other.
Sure.
Would you agree with that? Yeah.
Smiling, bro, Bilal.
Shout out to him. Okay, Jan, go ahead. I'm sorry. Jan,
you can hear me?
Yeah, I can
hear me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you guys did actually dig into this next question a bit. Let's talk a little bit more about the journey. I know at the beginning of marriages, many times we have tough patches. There's lots of tough patches. How can you guys talk about the tools that you use to get through those tough times?
You know, the beginning was not tough for us, honestly. We didn't start hitting tough patches until 7 years, maybe.
Oh, so that 7-year mark is real, huh?
Girl, and then apparently there's a 12-year mark that's a little more intense than the 7. The 12 was for us. The 7 was more.
I actually agree with that. About 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 7. Yeah. And before the 7, we were kind of cruising. Like, it was a lot of stuff going on. But we was kind of chilling. And I can honestly say that I was playing into some of that good wife role stuff even then, but it wasn't causing problems so much the way that it did after the 7. And I'm sure it has something to do with, by then we had 3 kids and we had bought a house and all this other stuff.
That's crazy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw y'all up. But then she cut it out. Cut it out.
What's up, brother? What's up?
Let me just say this, Brother Nasheed. Brother Ayub is modeling, right? We're talking about longevity. He's modeling how to keep it all together. He's giving his wife
But yeah, the thing that we did when we started the biggest thing was counseling. Both of us are very pro counseling. We did premarital counseling, which led to me having to do some individual counseling because the counselor was like, oh, you got some stuff. you don't need to carry with you into this relationship. And I was like, I'm good. And he was like, you're not, actually. You need to do these things. And so when we got to a point, and it wasn't even like deal breaker stuff, it just was like, we don't know what to do with this here. Like, how do we get to this next? And so the counseling was very useful. I don't really know what to call what happened around 12 years exactly. But counseling came up again, just in a slightly different format, was more group stuff. And one of the things that came up, he and I were just talking about it today, was the concept of infidelity. And a lot of times it gets used to talk about adultery. But the definition that we were given in one of these courses was the keeping of secrets. And we both came to realize we had.
Can you say that again? I'm sorry. We had a whole thing on transparency.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I just want you to repeat it for everybody.
Oh, gotcha. So infidelity is not necessarily about adultery. Infidelity is the keeping of secrets. And keeping secrets makes you sick, right? Like, you're as sick as your secrets. And so there were a lot of things that he was doing that he was shielding me from. Really, it was ego-based, but he didn't want me to know these things because he didn't want to change my perspective of him. And then we had, you know, I had some of my stuff as well, things that I wasn't necessarily sharing. And so this infidelity was really playing our relationship in a way that we didn't know until we sought assistance. And so once one of the sessions, you had to share any secret, anything that you've been keeping. I mean, you have, they call it getting to ground zero. You got to get it all out. And it was really intense because it was some of the stuff after the fact, I was like, bro, that was stupid. Like, why were you keeping that a secret? This is dumb. But I had to respect that there was a reason that he felt like he needed to keep that a secret.
But that brings up a good point, though. If I could just segue into your point, that brings up a good point because we had talked about this so much on our special edition, and we talked about restoring trust. Yes. And it was such a divide between the men and the women. And Brother Ayub, I want to bring you in for this just point really quickly about the transparency piece. Now, what was said was, and I'm going to keep using this example, but what was said, though, as men, as leaders, there's sometimes, this was the perspective of the brothers, that sometimes they make a leadership call and they decide they're not going to be transparent or tell their wife certain things to protect her. How did you fare with that? Or is that a sort of principle that you maintain or upheld in your marriage?
Yeah, it definitely is. As a person in a leadership position, right, you do have to have a certain level of confidentiality, right? And it's just learning the difference between what's confidential and what's being secretive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, what is the difference?
There is a difference. There is a big difference, you know? And so without the proper training and coaching and talking to others who are professionals, right, that line gets fuzzy. Right. It gets fuzzy and you can keep secrets that you're thinking is confidential, but it's a secret. Right. We know the things that are confidential. If somebody comes to you in confidence and discusses a issue that they're having, and somebody who is active in team sports and community life, I got a lot of those. Right. But that has nothing to do with me personally and nothing to do with me and my household. Right. And so you have to really identify those things that are secrets versus what's confidential.
I think that it's tied to ego, honestly.
And can we answer Taja first, though? She just asked, what is confidential in marriage, though?
Because I mean, it depends. I know there was a time early in our marriage that we, in interesting ways, we very much treat our marriage like a business. Like, we have these, like, marriage check-ins where we write stuff down and, like, assess goals and make decisions about who's going to do what in a formal kind of a way. It's not, you know, written in stone or anything, but it's something that we do to just kind of keep things clear, right? So one of the things that we did was we decided that when community tea gets spilled, he don't really need to know about none of that. So that became something confidential that I needed to know. And it really was in the sense not of being gossipy, but as we were having children, we became a lot more aware of the dysfunction in people's homes. And we had to be very careful about where we spent our time. Who's going to, and we have all girls, and not to say that our boys are not as important and as needing of protection, but I only have daughters, so that's my only frame of reference. And so there was this strong desire to make sure we're keeping our children safe, right? And so it was like, oh, I heard such and such happened in this place. That was the confidence that I had to hold in terms of the details. I would just say to him, this family is a no. we're not going to go into that home anymore. We can go to an outing, wherever, but keep an eye on, you know, that kind of thing. So those kinds of things are what was confidential in our marriage. I remember I was very independent before I got married, very who you think you're talking to, you don't tell me what to do. And early in our first year, we were at the masjid and gunshots went off. And so I'm hiding, trying to whatever. And he came up to me and was like, look, do this, do this, do this, and do this. Go. If I had continued with, well, what's going on? That's not the time. Do what the brother said, do. I had no information. And so it was an early lesson for me in time and place. Some stuff I really don't need to know about. He knew what was going on. I didn't. So even after the dust cleared and he found out what all the details were, that remained a confidence for him. He didn't need to tell me everything that happened, everything that was going on in that situation. He just needed me to be safe and get where I needed to go. And so I feel like it's a very case by case kind of thing. That incident had nothing to do with his ego. It wasn't a secret. It was a confidence for other people's protection. Me learning about the stuff that was going on in people's houses had nothing to do with my ego. It's to protect our children. And so it's a balancing act, I think. And of course, we've had tons and tons of things that have come up along the way, but we also talk about it. Like sometimes he says, girl, if I ain't talked to you so much, I have had, you know, X amount of years more sleep over this time. Like, you talk too much. But we really do talk to each other a lot about a lot of stuff. And then sometimes he might say, all right, look, this thing came up. I don't know if it's a secret or what. So here's this and this and this. This sounds like a secret, because sometimes he really is unclear. Like, should I keep this to myself or not? And sometimes I'll be like, yeah, keep that to yourself. I don't need to know that. And then other times I'm like, that might be something that I do need to know. Go on and tell me what it is. And you really have to not be in it for just to know, just for the, you know, go on and spill that tea. Because it's easy when you're with your husband to just go on and just share everything. But that's not, I don't think it's particularly healthy. Like, I know my girlfriends know that things that come to me don't necessarily pass through to my husband. That's not.
Yeah, and I completely understand that. I think as it relates to aspects of who you are, like, I think when it relates to, like you said, aspects of who you are, that holding secrets about who you are, who you're spending time with, where you're at, those are considered secrets.
Yeah, correct. Sure.
Well, okay, brother, you're not withholding that information. So a bunch of sisters, couple sisters hit you up in a DM, you can let Nandola know.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that issue.
Alhamdulillah.
I don't want that issue.
This man don't got Messenger.
That's a test that I don't have to go through.
Oh, you don't have Messenger. Okay, that's the secret. That's the key. Don't have Messenger.
But he's also woefully unaware of where women are. And I'll be like, wait, man. He got four. Me, Ziza, Jolly, Sasa. Keep it moving.
Okay. So this is a good point. Nasheed said, Brother Nasheed said, I'm not giving her my passwords and I don't want hers. Do you think that's necessary as it relates to transparency?
No.
Not necessary.
I think that when you feel the need to have a password, there's something going on you need to investigate. Mm-hmm. I have the passcode to his phone, but I don't need it. At a certain point, my fingerprint opened his phone. I didn't need it, but he was like, I mean, what difference does it make? And so I don't, even though I know she get on my nerves, but I agree with him.
Yeah. Powerful. Wow. That's really powerful. So I wanted to talk a bit about this concept of longevity. Like, I've always been like, and I know all of us, mashallah, we are from the same community. And we kind of have, you know, we all grew up and our parents, you know each other and all that good stuff. And we know, at least, I mean, you guys share your perspective, but I know that a lot of the measuring stick for like that generation was just staying married, just stay married, right? Like, just stay married. That was the success. I wanted to just ask you guys a little bit deeper about what is longevity the correct parameter for to measure success? Is that how you measure success, by how long your marriage is sustaining, or what else is involved in that? So I just wanted to ask you a little bit about longevity. But can you start?
Yeah, it was something that was important to me, but I understood early on that it had to be quality, right? It was a certain level of quality that has to be involved in that longevity. You know, my father, matter of fact, before we got married, he asked me, he said, why you want to get married? And I was like, you know, I want to be married for 50, 60, 70 years, you know? And he was like, well, you know, you got to get started in order to do that, right? And so that's when I kind of really was in the process of working on myself, because I knew that, you know, it had to start with me, right? I had to be ready for this, you know, because as the man, it's a big responsibility to take on a wife, you know what I mean? Because you're basically taking care of somebody else. And so for me, that was a measuring stick, but it's so much more to it than that. So much more, you know. Yeah. Well, Bilal, you something Bilal else, man. Say. You remember the Metro with the blue light?
He said I don't know how he got that. A brother has to go straight from work to home, but we're going to let Bilal rock.
But no, it's... it's more about really finding somebody, I think, right, who you can really show your true self, right, your goals and aspirations, right, and can they help you get there, right? No matter what they think of your goals and aspirations, right, they're your goals and aspirations. Can they help you get there, right? Are they going to support you along the way? Because as we all know, life is going to hit us, right? We're going to run into problems and obstacles and things like that. And so it's been very powerful for me to have somebody like Indola that can kind of help me along the way through those obstacles, right? Because I'm not a wrestling card. Yeah, I mean, and Bilal, right? Right? Because as we all know, it's people that's been married 50 years and miserable as all get out.
Can't stand each other.
They get divorced after 50 years, right? And it's like, oh no, that's not me. Be me, not me, you know, and so, but it's work involved. You gotta put in that work. And again, it's all based on intentions, you know what I'm saying? And having that balance to understand that it's not gonna go all your way, but really self-check yourself first, you know what I'm saying? Before your wife checks you or before your husband checks you, you know, have that self-check in place, right? And then just, you know, leave it at that. See what happens.
Powerful. Yeah. There's a lot more involved. You're right. There's a lot more involved with the longevity piece. And I just constantly wanted to challenge if that is the measuring stick, or is it having sustainable, happy, you know, marriages, healthy unions? Is that necessarily the measuring stick?
Yeah, and I mean, let me just add to that. You know, when you start to have children within the marriage, right, your children are really going to be like the telltale sign of what that relationship is like, right? Because you can't really hide from the people that you spend the most time around, right? You can't do it. And so your children are going to pick up characteristics and traits of you, right? And so how are they growing? How are they cultivating themselves is going to be a telltale sign. And now that our oldest is 13, right? And it's like, okay, looking at her, she's a woman essentially, right? And it's like, man, it's about to be somebody's wife before we know it, right? I'm not trying to rush it or anything like that, but it's like you got to get in that mind frame, like, mm-hmm. We got to groom her to be able to take care of herself to be a healthy partner for somebody else, right? Instead of saying that you got to be somebody's wife. It's like, no, be healthy for yourself, and then you have a chance to be a good wife because you know yourself, and to always have these self-checks in place. And so it's just a balancing act, you know what I mean? Allah tells us that things are balanced, you know what I mean? You got to have a balance in life, you know? You can't pray all the time. You can't just work all the time, you know what I mean? You got to have a balance in life. And so just really allowing each other to create our own individual balance and making sure our scales kind of line up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it in terms of like the, you know, everything that you said. And even though longevity in and of itself isn't the goal, I think that it being a part of the goal is very important because it helps with a larger thing than yourself. You know, it's something bigger than you because it does mean something. If he and I didn't stay together, that would mean something in our community. You know what I mean? It's a little bigger than us at this point, and that's true for a lot of people. And so that doesn't mean stay in a bad relationship, but it does mean it's a lot at stake here, right? And so the longevity is a part of it. And I think that learning how to not be who you were. You know, as we're growing, him knowing that a big part about women is we gonna change. The person I was when we first met, the person I was when we got married, before we had kids, now we got three. I'm not, the core of me is the same, but yeah, so much has changed. And he has to make his way through that. And so if something comes up that he doesn't particularly like, is it gonna be a deal breaker, or can you still see I'm still aiming for these years? Because that's still important. Not, what's the stuff, abuse. Not, yeah. You know, not true deal breaker things, but when things get a little bit difficult, I think the longevity can help nudge things along in terms of keeping our communities, keeping our families intact. Both of us, as you said in our bio, we did come from broken homes, but mine mended, and which is a really interesting experience. I don't know if I know another person who experienced that. I mean, aside from my siblings, who experienced their parents divorcing and remarrying and staying remarried. Like, I know people whose parents got divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced and married, so they canceled out that three. But staying together afterwards is different. And so that kind of goes into those checks that we do. Like, all right, what's where are we? What's going on? And keeping in mind that all of these different things have to happen. Like, I got to be in Dolan, he got to be IU, but we have to be together. And then we got to be mothers and fathers for these girls, but then we have to be individually parents for them. And we want that to be a long-term thing. And still keeping it, like, it's just so many moving parts that it gets overwhelming for me, at least.
Absolutely. It becomes a lot. And I wanted, if I could segue in, I wanted to just ask a really important question, because I think when people sometimes are in long, when they're in unions and you know, time, people change, all of this, there's sometimes a lot of distractions. We know that, especially in current day, as it relates outside influences, outside distractions. How do you work your way through all of that and maintain that commitment? I think that's very real, and a lot of people struggle with that.
For me, I mean, it's just a matter of, alhamdulillah, I've come from an environment where people don't invite me to certain things. Right, they don't, and because they know that, they know that, yeah, they know that that's not who IU is, right? And so it's a form of protection that a lot of people that are older than me and that really truly know me more, sometimes more than I know myself, they have protections in place, right, for IU.
So they're not calling him to the foolishness,
right? Right.
Wow.
You know, and then, you know, watching what I'm watching. we don't watch reality TV. You know what I'm saying? What did I say? Y'all better stay together or else I'm coming to church with the guns blazing. Yeah, brother. We good.
We're doing all right.
Yeah. but just watching the influences, you know what I'm saying? Making sure that we're not acting like anybody else. Like, again, it goes back to that self-check. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm trying to discover who IU really wants to be, right? And keep cultivating that. Figure out who Ndola really wants to be and keep cultivating that, as opposed to getting these influences from God knows who, right? And trying to imitate that. You know, it's like we don't have cable. Right, we got Netflix and stuff like that. And so we don't watch reality TV. You know, I don't know who the reality TV people are. Never have been interested in doing so. Right. Not keeping up with the Joneses, essentially. And I think that has helped us in our house a whole lot, because that's a big problem out here in the world from what we hear, is that people are out here really soaking that stuff up, not understanding that stuff is really truly affecting your psyche, right? On what your expectations are and what you deserve, right? I deserve to have this and that. And it's like, that's not what it's about. You know what I mean?
Exactly, sis.
Yeah.
So much money.
So what would you say so you mentioned a couple of things just as a man, you say you don't go certain places, you don't watch certain things. Are there other things that you kind of do to just make sure you are focused in on, you know, your home? And
yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm very close to a select few of people that I've been close to since I was either before I was born, like they're my elders, you know, or people I actually really grew up with, right? And just understanding that they have my best interests at heart. And so when I when I run into issues, I have people that know me sometimes better than I know myself, again, that can kind of check me, right? When I can't check myself, they can kind of check me. And just really being self-aware, man. That's the biggest thing I can tell somebody, is just really be self-aware about who you are. You know what I mean? And I want to be a good person. I really, truly do. You know, and I don't feel good when I'm moving a certain kind of way. You know what I mean? And so I was telling my daughter today, it's like, you have to respect the reminders that Allah gives you. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, he'll take them away. He gives us reminders all the time. You know, and so I pray that I continue to receive those reminders, right, of the person that I want to be and that I should be.
I think that avoiding distractions for me was very, very different from what he just described. In my experience, I didn't have time or energy for it. I was so consumed with pregnant, nursing again, you know, like just so consumed with that, getting a bit bogged down with the way that your worship has to change when you're a mom, where you can't stay up and you can't fast necessarily for Ramadan. Like a lot of the things that's just a part of what we do as Muslim women, it kind of gets taken away sometimes when we become moms, and the hardship that goes along with that, trying to navigate that part of it. And then being the good wife and trying to model a certain thing for my girls, and just all of these things consuming who I was and what I was doing for so long, it really was just no time or space for it. And so even though I wish I had approached a lot of things differently in that time, in theory, I'm grateful for it because I still avoided the distractions and I was able to insulate my children in a really beautiful way and be a big influence for them and other children in a way that I ultimately wanted to be, and preserve their innocence much longer than a lot of other parents have the opportunity to do, because I was able to be with them for so long until I chose not to. And so, and so for me, it was really, I guess I almost want to say lack of opportunity for it.
That's how it is for a lot of us.
Yeah, the distractions that we had were minimal. And so the stuff that he said is true. We haven't had cable for probably about 10 years now, which was really just a fluke. We moved and forgot to reconnect. And 3 months later, we were like, oh, we don't miss it, so we shouldn't get it. And then now you really don't need it, all the stuff you got, all these streaming things. But even that, having to navigate that, keeps me from certain things. So I'm having to set parental controls and make sure this new website that I didn't put a block on that the girls might have access to, you know, keeping up on that stuff, keeping up on what's going on with YouTube that the girls might stumble into. It's just so much that kept my energy locked in terms of mothering and wifing, that I didn't get to the part that he's talking about until very recently. The last 2 or 3 years, I got to the, who do I really, really want to be for myself? How am I going to cultivate myself and, you know, really focus in on myself? And that didn't come until after a trauma happened. And so it was a part of the healing from trauma, from a very overt trauma, that got me to that place. And that's interesting. I didn't know that's what you thought about that. We didn't talk about that question.
No. It was great answering. Okay, you guys. So we're about to segue towards the end. Jan, I know you just came back in. Can you hear me, Jan? No,
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I wanted to just ask.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just having some issues. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to ask you, I know you've also been married a long time. Is that something that you also sort of subscribe to, is kind of maintaining and like watching what you take in and all of that? So just to sort of mute the outside distractions in your long-term marriage. I don't know if she can hear me. Okay, Jan, we're going to come back to you. Ayub and Indola, what I wanted to do before we end this podcast,
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I wanted to just ask a little bit of like truths about marriage longevity. So I'm going to mention a few to you, and I want you guys to just answer whether you agree or disagree. You could give a little bit of context before we end this podcast. So I'm going to actually call on who I want to answer for each one, if that's okay. Mm-hmm.
You sure that's okay?
Don't do that.
Okay with that? All right. So trust must be consistent and maintained to facilitate a healthy marriage. IU, you agree or disagree and why? Must be consistent and maintained.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Because through consistency, you really find out who somebody is, right? People who aren't honest and fair, right, is gonna show. Right, especially when you talk about longevity, those things are gonna show. Like, it's only so long you can hide those things, right? Those traits, right? Like, you can fake the funk when you're dating and at the beginning, right? But when life gets real, your real self is gonna come out, right? And so you have to have, you know, that consistency, right, to be able to really just understand that. What is this person really, what are their values? What are their true values, right? And yes, I definitely agree.
Absolutely, thank you for that. And Dola, romantic love is extremely important to maintain in a long-term marriage.
I would say that's true, but I wouldn't put it near the top of things that are important. I wouldn't put it at the top. I think that that's one of the mistakes that we make, is putting it at the top and thinking about being so in love and so all, you know, gushy fairy tale, whatever. I mean, I am, but no, let me stop. I think that it gets more important in a time like, you know, when you're having the kids and you're having the schedule and the soccer and the pool and all, you know, swim meets and all that. It's important to make sure you maintain it. But mm-hmm. if it's at the top, it's not sustainable. Like, if that's what's got you guys together is this really intense kind of lustful romantic kind of thing. You get older, your metabolism's going to change. Somebody might gain a couple pounds, a face not going to look, you know what I'm saying? Like, things are going, the one guarantee is change. And you right. You can't sustain the kind of romantic love that you had at 22, at 32, at 62, at 7. It's just not sustainable. So there has to be other loves in there, even if it's the love for Allah, because there are times where you really might not be in love with your spouse. It doesn't mean that y'all should not be together. Most marriages do not break up because they don't love each other. Right. Matter of fact, I could probably, and I've talked to a lot of people about relationships and stuff, so I know a lot of reasons, and I've, you know, just researched it because out of curiosity, I almost never see marriages that end because of love. It's mm-hmm. finance, it's trust, it's communication, it's all these other things, but it's not love. Like, love can be the easy part. If y'all don't like each other, you know, chill with each other for a while, play some board games, go to a movie, take a walk, you can eat some chocolate, you know, you can foster these things, get it back in there. And so it's definitely important. It can't be minimized, but I think sometimes we too often maximize it, and then the balance is gone.
Do you think, Ayub, a long-term marriage can sustain without a foundation of friendship? Do you believe that or agree with that?
No.
A long-term marriage can...
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, because friends, right? One of the things friends do is communicate, right? Friends are going to communicate. They're going to talk, right? And so if you're a spouse, you can't talk to them, right? Then it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, especially like she said, when you start having children and you start having to plan more, right? And work things out and figure out what direction are we going in, you know, it'll be hard. So no.
You have to have that friendship.
Definitely.
Sometimes that might be all you have in that moment is yeah. things are going rocky, whatever, but that's still your homie though. Right. And you have that part of the relationship that can be built on. That was not my
question. Okay, no, it's okay. I love it. I love you guys. Oh, you said I'm used to it. I love it. This one I thought was important for you guys because of what you guys do, but building economics and a business together can contribute to a marriage sustaining. Either you guys can answer, because I know you guys have developed businesses with your kids mm-hmm. and with each other. And how do you feel like that contributes to longevity? Agree or disagree?
So, I mean, when we first talked again the second time, I think she had a daycare. I was working the family business.
I can't.
Yeah, she had a camp, you know, taking care of children, right? That was a trait that I was looking for, right? And she was running a business. So it was like, okay, all right, we're aligned in that way. But our goals were not that. Our goals were not entrepreneurship, right? Our goals was she was going to get her PhD and she was going to be a professor and go travel and blah, blah, blah. I was going to do my accounting thing, working at a big CPA firm, blah, blah, blah. And then none of that happened, right? But then what happened was is that we began to see that it's important for us to spend as much time together as possible, right? That's the only way that we're going to really grow. Because most of the time when you send your kids to school, they spend more time with school than you. And so because she was intelligent and an educator and liked children, she was like, I'm going to get into that. And so, bam, she want to go teach at Rousseau. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, all right, okay, all right, okay, all right. And so that was first thing, right? First thing was like, okay, that wasn't a part of the plan, but I get it, okay. And then it was like, I want to open my own school. And it was just like, huh, okay, all right, here we go. You know what I mean? Here we go. And so from there, it just started taking off, and I let her, you know.
You don't make me forget the question.
So the business part and building economics, building a business, entrepreneurship. So,
honestly, I think that the reason that it can strengthen a marriage is because, as I mentioned a few times, marriage really is business. So if you kind of have that structure set up and then you're actually running a business, I think the two can lend themselves very well to each other in terms of how you approach the practical parts of marriage and the goal setting and staying on task and all that kind of stuff. So in the course of our marriage, he, I don't know how many businesses he started with his brothers. I'm not even gonna try to name them, but Aziza did her fashion design, the Z by Aziza, the girls have jazz. I just started my own podcast yesterday. So I have the Real Indigo podcast, and then I also have Indigo Cakes and Catering that I do. He has I Counted For You Accounting. So we have all these things going on. And sometimes we'll just come together and just put sticky paper on the wall and we're just brainstorming. We got a whiteboard on the wall, we got our sticky paper, and we're doing stuff. And even though it's for business, it really is quality family time because all five of us are involved. All the girls, the cat comes and, you know, finds her little spot by somebody's feet. We're all doing this thing, right? And so as we're going through these processes, businesses have ups and downs, just like relationships have ups and downs. And you have challenges that you have to address. And you have, you know, just all of the stuff that you have to do. And so since now we're doing jazz together, like we're doing the stuff that an adult has to do for the girls' business, for jazz.
I'm a big fan, by the way. I live by the products.
Jazz is good stuff.
Go ahead.
Now, because of the pandemic, he's no longer working accounting outside the house. He's doing it at home. And I'm no longer working. Like, I closed my school last year, and we're all here. And so it's like it gives us, for one, you really get to see how somebody processes information. You can understand them better. You get to see how they approach problems and do like problem solving and tasks and all that. He and I, in some ways, could not be more different. In a lot of ways. But then we have those things that are like this. And so we get to really see that in business. And I know for me, it wasn't until we started working together more, mostly on jazz, that I was able to see things that I had not been able to understand in our marriage, things that had happened, communication barriers that we'd hit before. But now, because it's not married folks talking, it's the accountant and the CAO are talking. It's like, oh, that's why he, and so I'm able to make these link these things to make these connections. And so I think working together for us has lent itself very well to increasing and improving, because we've always communicated a lot, but it hasn't always been effective. And with business, you got to be very effective in your communication. Like you just have to be very effective in your communication, even to how we're organized. We organize things differently. I like to put things like this. He likes them like that. And so we have to communicate through that. So it gives us a lot of opportunities to spend time together. Yeah. The pandemic definitely doesn't help, with the time spending, because it's like, oh, I need a break. But even in that, it's nothing to in your business to say, oh, I need some time over here. I'm going to work on this project by myself. But in marriage, that can come off the wrong way. But I've learned how to say that, like, oh, I do need some time, not just away from you, but away from the girls too. Like, I'm feeling a little overstimulated, a little overwhelmed. I need to take a step back. I'll sit in the closet if I have to. Like, honestly, I'll take a walk. I'll sit in the car, wherever I need to go to get my break. But some of that did come from learning effective communication in working together. Okay. And I feel like it just kind of, it goes from there. And it's also showing us ways to show the girls how to effectively communicate. And
you're building generational wealth. You're building you're building a legacy for your children.
Because we talk about that, like, this whole generational wealth thing is something that Black folk don't get to do very much, because, you know, it's been overtly put down and crushed. And it's like, a lot of that stuff that happened in the past, not to say it can't happen, because the Capitol just got stormed. People still crazy out here. But we got different tools now. We have more information now. I feel like we're better situated than our ancestors probably even dreamed we would be to achieve these things. And so that's definitely a big selling point when, you know, the whole business thing and the marriage thing is like, we're literally doing things with our great grandchildren in mind. And that's a really way to move.
That's what it's about. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I appreciate you guys sharing that and just adding to that, because again, we're going to bridge into the discussion about building economics after this series. Sister Zakiya, she asked, what's their business? Do you want to go ahead and drop that information real quick?
So we're not on our phones or anything. Anybody in the chat can drop it. Is that Jazz Crafted, our daughter's business?
You could drop the link for Jazz.
At JASCRAFTED. And the website is myjazzofficial.com.
And it's a body, it's a company.
It's a skincare and beauty business. So they have a line of 5 products, and they have a body buttercream, which is like the flagship product at this point. They have a bath soak, a body polish, a lip polish, and a deodorant paste. And it's even creating these products came out of like how we're married and how we raise our kids, because we're doing, the all natural, the plant-based, the non-GMO, and really focusing on maintaining a certain level of quality. And it's something that we talk about in terms of our relationship, maintaining a certain level of quality. So how we talked a little while ago about, is the years enough? It's like, no, we need this level of quality in the years. And that might mean taking a step back to reevaluate some things, but maintaining that quality, maintaining that trust, that communication, that accountability, all of these things that are not easy. They're simple, but they're not easy. And business helps all of that stuff. Not in like, oh, the business is saving us, but you know, it lends itself. It definitely lends itself.
Absolutely. And I wanted to just say that I use, I think Noni dropped the website, but I use 2 of the products. I'm huge fans of the body polish and the body cream, right? The body cream. Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge fan. So you guys should definitely support it. It's definitely official products. But I wanted to thank everybody. It seems like everybody really enjoyed this dialogue. I wanted to just thank you guys and give honor for a second for just the level of transparency and honesty. I also wanted to just say, because obviously I've known you guys for so long, I've watched you guys as a couple for so long, and just mashallah, may Allah bless you. But I really admire the friendship. Yeah, I really admire the friendship. And because when I see you guys as friends and partners, and I really admire you for modeling that. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories. Thank you, Brother Ayub. Thank you, Sister Ndola.
Thank you for having us.
My other little shameless plug moment. I started my own podcast just yesterday, so I'm getting ramped up. But I will definitely be reaching out to you.
Tell us the name. Tell us the name and where we can find it.
So it's called The Real Indigo, N-D-I-G-O, The Real Indigo. Right now it's live on Spotify. I'm on Anchor and on Buzzsprout. I'm waiting for the other platforms to approve it. But inshallah, within the next 2 weeks, it will be on Pandora, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, the Apple one, and iHeartRadio is what I'm waiting for.
All right, alhamdulillah. Well, we can't wait for that. And we know that your voice is very needed and valuable. So thank you for contributing to the podcast world. And I can't wait to tune in for that. Inshallah. Thank you so much, Jan. Jan, hey girl.
You're welcome. So sorry about my technical issues, but
girl, let me tell you,
it was wonderful hearing. You know, I love a good love story, so you know.
No, I'm working now. I'm
happy to be a part of this one. I'm sorry.
I would say that connection is good now.
Yeah, okay. I know. I don't know what happened.
But you know what, Jan?
I also just wanted to say I appreciate watching the you mentioned the friendship. So that's something that I'm noticing too, and I'm loving. I think that's very important, and that's what we have in our marriage as well. That's mm-hmm. a part of the longevity. The friendship is very important, and I see that with you too. So that's mm-hmm. awesome.
Thank you so much, Jan. And don't feel bad. It wouldn't be a Dope Muslim Woman podcast if we ain't have some tech issues, girl. Thank you for, keeping us on track. But I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being here. And you're also someone that I admire. And I love how, like you said, that model of friendship that I see. And mashallah, I've realized, after a little trial and error, that that's a key component, that friendship piece. So may Allah bless all of you guys. Mm-hmm. All right. To the Dope Muslim Woman Podcast family, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here to the Dope Muslim Woman Podcast family. Please tune in next week. We're going to have Behind Her Guarded Walls with Salima Suswell. And we're going to dig really deep into how the process of, like I said, restoring and letting your guard down and being open and trusting again and all of that. So we're going to dig deep into that. Love you guys radically. Make sure, inshallah, you continue to share. I'll see you next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Thanks for having us.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.